So do me a favor, picture Sasquatch. For me, it's a very specific image. It's a big, hairy humanoid, mid-stride, arms swinging, head turned to glance back over its right shoulder. It's an iconic picture. And the thing that Bigfoot was turning back to look at was Bob Gimlin. Gimlin, along with Roger Patterson, gathered their famous film footage in Northern California in 1967. 50 years later, people still pore over it, debating its authenticity and speculating on how it might have been faked. Well, that film, which launched 1,000 Bigfoot hunters, also ruined Bob's life. Bob Gimlin lives in Yakima. He's a man of many interests, it's just that most of them have to do with horses.
This is the old stud horse. He's an old timer. Step on outside. Step out.
We are at a friend's farm in Yakima where Bob keeps most of his horses. He's spent decades making his living around animals.
This old sleigh here, I'd hook Kilargo, that stallion, when he was young, to this sleigh and give the kids rides in here.
Bob is a real deal cowboy. He used to break horses. He rode in an honest-to-God sheriff's posse. And, of course, he rode in rodeos. When he was young, at least. He's 86 now.
I quit rodeoing altogether in 1958 and enjoyed rodeo. And that's where I met Roger Patterson at the rodeos.
Bob and Roger hit it off. But then after Bob quit the circuit, they didn't see each other for a few years. Until one day in 1961.
I stopped at my uncle's service station down in Union Gap. And the guy walked out and it was Roger.
As they caught up, Roger told Bob he wanted to show him something. He came back with a large plaster cast of a footprint, a big footprint. Well, Bob wasn't sure what to make of that, but he was open-minded enough that one day later, when Roger came knocking, he was willing to listen.
So he come running into my place. He said, "Bob, can you take me to Northern California?" And I said, "Well, can't do it now." Labor Day weekend, they found all these tracks down there after they come back to work.
Bob agreed to load up 3 horses in his trailer and head down to the area around Willow Creek in Northern California. The 2 men mounted up and headed deep into the woods on old logging roads.
The leaves were all changing, reds and yellows, and it was pretty rugged, you know, it was hills like that. We were just riding up there. Roger was taking pictures of me on the horse and leading the pack horse. That's when Roger's horse started just the jumping and the lunging. And I could see that there's something going on there. I look over there and there's a Bigfoot standing just on the other side of the creek from us. But he just immediately turned, started walking away. Well, Roger by then had got his camera out of the saddlebag on his horse. And he was up running across the creek there. He hit the other side of the bank and stumbled and kind of fell down on his elbows. And that's when it made that famous head turn. That's when I stepped down off the horse. My mind thought, well, yeah, these things really do exist. After all this I heard about them and stuff, and I've been wanting to see a track, here's one walking right away from me, right in front of me here.
There was no doubt in Bob's mind. This was no hoax. This was Bigfoot. Once they'd calmed their horses down, they tried to follow her. She appeared to be a rather heavy-bosomed female, but to no avail.
And then we talked about the smell and different things and musky, skunky smell. And Roger said, "Oh, it smelled like an old dog that rolled in cow." And I said, "Well, yeah, maybe that."
Once the shaky footage was developed, Roger was giddy. He was sure he had a gold mine on his hands. But Bob was not so impressed.
When I first saw the film, I thought, "Oh, that ain't nothing." I said, "I saw a lot more than that." So I was kind of the bad guy.
So that was the first crack in their friendship. They hit the road with the film, trying to interest investors and maybe sell the story to Hollywood. But Bob says his heart wasn't in it. He had horses to take care of.
You know, there was a lot of disagreement right from the get-go. I said, "I got to go back to work and make a living."
Still, Roger and his associates continued the roadshow with one major difference.
They hired some guy that said he was me.
So, touring the country, making money with a Bob Gimlin impersonator.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that was it for Bob and Roger. Bob says the two never spoke again. That is until Roger was on his deathbed.
his brothers called me and said, Bob, he's asked to see you. So I went to see a little old dried-up guy there in a bed, and he rallied up a little bit and said, Bob, oh, man, it's so good to see you. And I said, yeah, Rog. Bobby said, I apologize. And I said, well, why did you hire a guy and he saves me? Well, he said, we had to do something to get people to come in. And I said, well, dadgummit, Roger. He said, Bob, he said, I've got the money and the means and stuff now and the equipment. He said, as quick as I get well, you and I are going to go back down there to California and capture Bigfoot. Well, that was in the afternoon, and he was dead the next morning.
Bob says he forgave Roger at that point. But still, he seethed that this had turned into a payday for others, but not for him.
My wife said, let's just get away from it, Bob. You went through so much over that, and it's bothered you a lot and made a different person out of you.
What did she mean by that, that it's made a different person out of you?
Well, I was a person that never held grudges against anybody. Now, once you're thinking about hurting somebody.
And Bob chafed at the mockery, the constant mockery that seemed to follow him wherever he went. When the ridicule reached his wife at her bank job, that was the breaking point.
They razz her about it in where she was working, and she'd come home bawling and saying, oh, God, Bob, I wish you'd have never went down there with Roger. And I said, I do, too.
So Bob disowned Bigfoot. He stopped doing interviews and answering mail about it.
I used to get really upset, but kept saying, I keep my temper, keep my temper. Trying to just stay away from it for that 35 years until Dimitri said, I'm coming to the United States to have some time with you. Dmitry Baranov, a Russian scientist, one of the top Russian scientists, he said, well, if Bob can't make it to Russia, I'll come to the United States to have some time with him.
Baranov has written about Sasquatch, as well as its counterpart, what they call the Russian snowman. He came to the U.S. to attend a conference in California, and he convinced Bob Gimlin to go along with him. Reluctantly, Bob agreed to give a talk.
That's about all I can tell you about that short film footage of what happened.
He didn't know what to expect. For decades, his story had gotten nothing but ridicule.
It's still in my mind real clear, but when I see it, it's probably going to be a different story.
It was like lifting a weight off my shoulders. Here's all these people. Just anxious to hear what went on and believed in me. And when I walked in the room, standing ovation. And I thought, now wait a minute. How did this turn around in a few days?
Not only was he accepted by this group of believers, he was revered. He was a rock star. He started going to Bigfoot conferences again, giving interviews again, signing autographs. But not everyone in Bob's life was on board, which partially explains why he and I are talking inside of a Jeep parked at his friend's farm and not at his place.
My wife allows it, but she will not go to any of them with me because of the bad days that she had. She just says, I won't allow anybody that has anything to do with it to come to my place and do any filming or any interviews. You do what you want to, but I'm not going to go do any of it.
And that's sort of the agreement that Bob made with the world, too. He knows what he saw, and if you don't believe him, fine. You're the sucker.
I strongly believe if a real one walked in the house and sat down at a table, or the best it could, and they'd say, no, it's a fake, somebody in a suit. That's how naive they are. So that's just the way I'd tell them till the day they spank me in the face with dirt, you know.